All right, come on, let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you're a God of miracles. And Lord, I'm asking you today in the name of Jesus for miracles. Your word says we have not because we ask not. So Lord, here we are today asking for miracles. Lord, I think of what's happening in our nation right now with the divide and the challenges. And think about what's happening in the world right now with the threats that are globally. And Lord, you said, ask of you and you would give us nations. So we're asking for the United States. We're asking for healing. We're asking for unity. We're asking for reconciliation. We're asking for peace. We're asking, Lord, for answers in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this great nation. And Lord, I'm asking today, would you show yourself to be strong in the hearts and lives of every single person here? Let them know that you're a God of miracles. Let them know, Father, that this is not just the end, is what's been told to them. But God, you are bigger, you are stronger, and you are able. And everybody said, come on, everybody said, amen. Just turn to the person next to you, say, get ready for a miracle. Come on, just say, get ready for a miracle. Praise God. Hey, listen, before I get started, obviously, a couple of weeks ago now, probably 2 weeks ago, we actually talked to you about what we want to do in response to the most recent hurricane, which is Irma. And obviously, Irma has done its damage. And we've been talking to Josh, come up here for a moment, because I'll make sure you know the details better than I. I've been down in California all week. But we've been talking. Finally, we've been trying to get in touch with the guys down there. They're so busy. Craig Marston, who is...
He is the safety officer with Monroe County Emergency Operations Center.
And he's that's really the community we want to work in. We have a collective church, a wave, what we call network collective church, and they've got families. Pastor Charles Elliott was here just two Sundays ago. Last Sunday, I think he was here. And so he's now back, and he's found several families in his church
that essentially have lost their house. I mean, they're kind of homeless at this juncture. Their house has sustained so much damage.
And so he said, Steve, can we just get to phase two? He goes, there are so many volunteers down here right now. There's so much food and water and supplies and frankly, volunteers.
Yeah, they've essentially said there's almost more volunteers than residents that have yet returned to the Keys.
And that's good. He says, but can we just go straight to phase two? So we've got dates, and we've got dates of coming up on October the...
9th is when we're going to send our first effort down.
We're going to send our first crew down there on October the 9th. We'll be talking to them about that to really go down there and begin to figure out. We're going to target a few families that are a part of this church who've been affected by it that don't have the means to rebuild. And we're going to do everything we can to help them get that done. And then also, we're going to be opening that up to all of our campuses, and
campuses,
they'll be working.
Collective churches as well, trying to basically station a few RVs and campers down there for a sustained period or as much of a sustained period as we can, and then rotate teams through those through several weeks as we rebuild.
So so really what it's gotten to is we're now more specific about what our response needs to be is people who are handy in the construction world. Does that make sense? And so we'll be in touch with those who've reached out to us and said they'd like to be a part of that. But we just feel like the best thing to do is let's not offer help where help is not wanted. Let's offer help where help is needed. And that's what we're being told. Yeah. So if you would like to be part of that, now what it means is that you would volunteer perhaps a week of your time to take time off work to go down there and actually help be part of the rebuilding process, correct?
Yes.
And so it'll be camper vans. It won't be, you know, we don't really know. It's obviously, it's not a vacation, but it really is a work week. And so I think it's great to know that we're responding to it. We want all of our collective churches to also be part of that rotating thing. So one team hands off to the next team, and hopefully we can really carry this through to a place of completion and help rebuild a few people's lives. How many think that'd be a good thing to do? Amen. Thanks, Josh. We can't do everything, but we can do something. Just because we can't do everything doesn't mean we shouldn't do something, and it sure will be a big difference in their lives. So thank you for your response, and thank God for all that's happening through the Generosity Wave Church. And now we're praying for Mexico and how Mexico has been affected. It's just amazing to me what is going on. And then you still get the conspiracy theories, and don't ever buy into the conspiracy theorists, people. They kind of go, this is the judgment of God. Don't ever go down that road of mean, poor theological theological, legalistic. You know, don't go down that road. Let's be merciful. Let's be kind. Let's show ourselves to be strong. I was with somebody this week, and one of the days I was in California, I spent with pastors, and one of the pastors says, you know, it's ever since the eclipse. And I kind of thought, yep, and it's ever since, you know, I didn't brush my teeth, you know what I mean? It's amazing what people can do and try and find some twist on this. All I know is there's need, and we've got answers in Jesus' name. Can anybody say amen to that? And so here we go. I want to talk to you about miracles in the Bible. And we're calling this kind of like a revival month. And next month, we're actually really going to be talking a lot about heaven and hell. And that guy in that video, not that you'd know from looking at the video, actually died and went to heaven. And actually was stung by 5 box jellyfish. And his story is quite amazing. Because if you get stung by 1 box jellyfish, it's you're going to heaven. You have, I think it is 2 minutes before your entire central nervous system shuts down. Trust me, I know. I'm very familiar with the box jellyfish. They're in Australia, and where I go on vacation, where they're in the water, and when they're swimming around, nobody's swimming in the water. They will, without a doubt, kill you if they sting you. He was stung by 5 and has this amazing story. He actually happens to be a friend of mine. And then on top of that, we've got the pastor from the book and the movie, Heaven is for Real, going to be with us here for a weekend because I really want to make sure. Listen, can I just say this? We are going to spend a lot more time in heaven in eternity than we are here on planet Earth. And I guess my job really is to get us all ready for heaven. Amen. So anyhow, we're going to spend the majority of our life there, not here. This is just temporary. Amen. So I want to make sure we're knowing about that, also knowing about the reality of hell. So we're going to talk a lot about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. But I was thinking about, what is a miracle? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit, and one of them is the working of miracles, which means the working, which means this word that comes from this word energema, which is where we get the word energy from, and that word miracles is dunamos, which is where we get the word dynamite or power. So it is the energy of the energema of divine acts of power. And I believe in miracles. I love to watch some of the cynics like Bill Maher, who obviously is very antagonistic toward the things, toward faith, and obviously he's got some sort of religious background himself, and I love to hear his arguments. And one time I heard him interview somebody who was a minister, I don't know of what particular denominational persuasion, but I'm not so sure that the minister he interviewed represented the broader context of who I would like to be interviewed. I'd rather Bill Maher come and interviewed someone like Joel Osteen or somebody, perhaps I'm not in Joel's category necessarily, but come and talk to me, Bill. I'll give you my story. This guy told the story. He says, why do you believe in miracles? And so this minister answered Bill and said, well, I remember I was at a party somewhere and I asked someone for a drink of water. And this person said, no, I'm not going to give you one. And he was dressed in his ministerial garb. And so he says, well, you're a minister. You believe in miracles? He goes, why don't you pray for a miracle that God will give you a glass of water? And he's telling Bill Maher this, and I'm watching this on this TV show. Anybody see the show, by the way? And so he goes, so I did. I prayed. And I said, God. And he goes, I put my empty glass out the window, and I prayed that it would rain. And it rained. And he goes, that's my miracle. Now, I would join Bill Maher in thinking that may not have been a miracle because it does rain pretty frequently. You with me? But to him, he obviously felt like it was a miracle, and I won't take that away from him. It's his story. But I do understand how people can be, it's like there's no point in praying that the sun will rise tomorrow morning because the sun is going to rise tomorrow morning. No point in praying it's going to rain because it is going to rain. You with me? I believe in genuine miracles that even the world actually has to face the inescapable evidence that it is a divine working of power from on high. Can anybody say amen? And so Luke chapter 18, verse 27, Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. So maybe you've been told that this is impossible. Well, what is impossible with man is possible with God. You'll never get that loan. You'll never have that child. You'll never be cured of this illness. Come on, somebody say amen. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? In other words, I just want to let you know that God is a God of miracles, and what we think is impossible for us, God says nothing's too hard for me. Luke 1, verse 37. For no word from God will ever fail. Whatever God says in His Word, it will not fail. And if He's a God that says in His Word that God works miracles and you and I can experience miracles, we can believe God for miracles. And I feel like in a very scientific, postmodern, you know, materialistic, we like the science of it, we like the proof of it, we like the evidence of it, we like to touch it, feel it. In a very cynical, sarcastic world, I think sometimes the reason why we don't see as many miracles is because we have more faith in science than we do God. We want a pill, we want a tablet, we want a medical breakthrough, and I thank God for each and every one of those, don't you? How many are glad for the discovery of penicillin, for instance? And before that, it would be a miracle should you survive without penicillin. But today, we don't even need that to be considered a miracle because of medical breakthroughs. I'm all for medical breakthroughs. But I believe in miracles. I believe God is a God that answers by fire. He answers with power. He's a God of the breakthrough. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm going to give you an example of what I believe a miracle looks like. Luke chapter 9, verse 16. Taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke them. He gave them to the disciples and began to distribute to the people, and they all ate and they were satisfied. And the disciples picked up the 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. Here is a crowd of 5,000 people who were fed by, listen to it, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus broke the 5 loaves and he blessed the 2 fish and he distributed it to the people and they all ate and the 12 baskets left over. I just want to say that God's not a God of miracles that'll just get you through it. God is a God of abundance and there's still leftovers afterwards in Jesus' name. I want to prepare you and enlarge your thinking because you will never see a miracle in your life unless you learn to increase the level of your expectation. Unless you learn to understand that God is a God of miracles and we have not because we ask not. We got to be people who learn to ask. We got to be people who learn to believe that God is bigger than your problem. God is more powerful than what the doctor said. God is more influential than the bank manager and the stock market and bigger than what the news says. God is a God of miracles. Come on, somebody say amen. So I was thinking about from the miracles in the Bible. I thought that might be good to stir your faith. I wrote down in my own research over 125 amazing miracles. There are more than 125 miracles, I promise you. But I wrote down, did some study for the last 2 weeks about the different kind of miracles in the Bible, starting in Genesis. You know, there is the creation of the universe, which is a miracle that still baffles science to this day. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Amen? Then there's the worldwide flood, which is still a major dilemma to the world today and scientists today trying to figure out what happened all those years ago where there was a flood. And then, of course, there was the sinful city of Sodom and Gomorrah that were destroyed because of its unrelenting lifestyle of ongoing sin without a willingness to show any degree of conscience whatsoever. And even when Lot's wife was told to leave and not look back, when she turned around, there was a miracle of God supernaturally in the Old Testament destroying a city. And then when Lot's wife left and she turned around, she was turned into a pillar of salt. That's not the kind of miracle you want, but it is a miracle. There's the supernatural conception of Isaac, conceived by an old woman called Sarah, who was even able at that age to breastfeed her own child. How many know that's a miracle when you're 100 years old? Then there's the 10 plagues of Egypt. There's water turned to blood. There's frogs. What do you do when there's frogs everywhere? Who are you going to call? The frog busters. And then there's lice and there's flies and there's boils and hail and locusts and the angel of death, just to name a few, as we think about the plagues of Egypt. And then there's the miracles of the Exodus of Moses leading the children of Israel. There's the burning bush where God got called. God called Moses. The bush was on fire, but the bush was not being consumed by the fire. And God spoke audibly through the bush and gave Moses a call to be one that is separate, to be one that's called to bring people out of bondage and bring people out of slavery. But it was a miracle that got Moses' attention, that got him to answer the call. What would it be to get your attention, to realize that you were called by God? What would God have to do to get your attention, to wake up to the call that he has on your life? You are not just called here to live a normal, safe life, but God wants to speak to you. There needs to be a moment, a miracle. There's the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. There's the snake when Moses threw it down and he devoured Pharaoh's snakes. And then there's the parting of the Red Sea. There's manna, food coming from heaven. There's water that flows out of a rock. The earth opens up and swallows Korah and his followers. There's the brass serpent that is lifted up in the desert. There's the walls of Jericho that came down. I'm just trying to tell you, the Bible's a book of miracles. What walls do you have in your life that need to come down? What is it that's keeping you from your miracle? What is it you need to march around seven times and then give God a shout? Can I just encourage us today? Can we get some faith for miracles? The walls of Jericho came down. There's the sun and the moon that stood still for a whole day because they realized they needed some more sunshine to finish the battle. And NASA discovered there's a day missing. Somewhere in the timing and the sequencing of all the dates and all the solar galaxy and all the moon and solar and all the time and research, there's a day missing. Well, here it is in the Bible. Then there's the miracles around the prophets. There's the talking donkey. I was reading about that this morning in my devotional time. It's one of the funniest stories in the Bible. Here is a corrupt, crooked prophet. And a king says, would you come and put a curse on God's people? And of course, the prophet had enough the sense to say, I can only say what God allows me to say. But the king says, if you say this, I'll give you money. So, you know, Balaam thinks I'll give it a shot. And he goes out there and an angel comes and stands before this prophet. And the prophet's on a donkey. And the donkey actually, you've heard me preach this many times, gets slapped because the donkey stops because he can see the angel, but the prophet can't. And then that in and of itself is a bit of a story, isn't it? But then it happens a second time, the donkey stops and the donkey can see the angel with a flaming sword, but the prophet can't. Third time it happens, Balaam slaps his donkey. And the poor donkey doesn't have the ability to tell Balaam what's going on. And God in his mercy felt so sorry for the donkey, he gave the donkey a miracle. I'm going to allow the donkey to tell the prophet what the problem is. And this is what the donkey said. Haven't I been a good donkey all these years? Have I ever given you a hard time? When have I led you astray? I keep stopping and you got to stop slapping me because God sent an angel to oppose you. Poor old Balaam starts talking back to the donkey like this is an everyday occurrence. By the way, if that donkey knew how to hang on to that miracle, we'd have talking donkeys today. There's Samson's strength. It's a miracle. Anybody need strength today? Anybody need strength today? Samson's strength was a miracle. I love this one. The idols that bow down before the Ark of the Covenant, perhaps my favorite, is the one of Dagon, where they got the Ark of the Covenant and they brought it into the temple of Dagon. And Dagon was a big, powerful, intimidating idol that stood tall. And they put the Ark of the Covenant at the feet of Dagon. And then they come back the next morning, and to their shock and horror, Dagon is bowed prostrate before the Ark of the Covenant. They're a little embarrassed. We need to hang this up better. This thing shouldn't have fallen. Good thing nobody saw this. And they put it back up again. The next day they come back into the temple and there is Dagon again, bowed, fallen, broken before the Ark of the Covenant. Can I tell you, our God is the God of all gods. He's the King of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords. Come on. There's the widow's meal and the oil. Anybody here need provision today? There's the widow's meal and there's oil. I love it. There's the axe head that floats. Oh, I love that one. An axe head that floats. An axe head doesn't float. Anybody need God to reverse gravity for you? Anybody need God to do something that in the natural can't be done? God will bring your axe head to the surface. He'll give you your cutting edge back again. There's mind reading prophecies where God is actually listening in on the enemy, Israel's enemy, and the king says to his captains, we're going to go this way. But God gives Elijah the ability to understand and listen what he's saying. And God says to the prophet, you need to tell the king of Israel that king over there plans to do this. Before these men can ever tell the troops what's going to happen, God is telling the prophet, the prophet's telling the king, and God's people are winning. Who's ever felt like your enemy's bigger and smarter? If you'll give an ear to heaven, God will speak to you and tell you how to be one step ahead, not playing catch up, not behind. I've just come to stir you today. Come on, can we believe God for miracles? Oh, one of my favorites is Elisha, and he's dead and buried in a tomb. And then there's a battle many years later. Elisha's bones are decaying, and a soldier gets killed, and they throw him because he's dead into the nearest tomb they can find. Throw the dead body, perhaps was lanced by a spear, thrown in, and then this dead soldier touches the dead bones of Elisha, and the soldier comes back to life. Elisha's dead bones had more power in it than some people living alive today. Come on. How do people feel when they get around you? Amen. There's a love for life in Elisha's dead bones. By the way, if you study that, it was the final miracle that gave Elisha the ability to do two times as many things as Elijah did. And Elisha's last miracle happened even after he died. In other words, you can go to your grave, and if there's something that hasn't come to pass, I want to tell you, God will see to it. It'll even come to pass even after you've gone to your grave. I believe in miracles. There's the sun's shadow goes back 10 degrees. There's Jonah swallowed by a whale. There's protection from hungry lions. Who's ever felt like you've been surrounded by your enemy? And everywhere you turn, they're just there waiting to pounce on you and devour you. And God will shut the mouth of your lion. God will shut the mouth of your adversary. There's a God of miracles. Come on, somebody say amen. In the New Testament, there's Mary and Elizabeth's miraculous conception. There's healing of two blind men. There's money in the fish's mouth. Anybody today needs supernatural provision where you need God to come through for you financially? There's so many stories of healing. There's Jesus, one of my favorite, is Jesus is passing through a crowd and they wanted to kill him because he just declared the Spirit of the Lord God is upon him and he is anointed to preach the gospel, to open blind eyes, to open deaf ears, to preach the good news of the gospel. And he rolls up the scroll and says, today is this scripture fulfilled in your midst. Jesus declared, I am he. And they took resentment, they took hostility. Who does this man proclaim to be? And they were ready to kill him for the heresy of the declaration that he would be the one that was spoken about through all the Old Testament prophecies. And there in the synagogue, they planned to kill him. And Jesus, the Bible says, walked up away. And it was there they planned to kill him. And Jesus walked right through the middle of them. And the Bible says they fell out under the power of God. And he walked through unseen. I believe in a God of miracles. Anybody believe in a God of miracles? There's the miraculous catch of fish, a turnaround in your business. Come on, somebody say amen. There's Jesus turning the water into wine. There's Lazarus raised from the dead. There's a storm that has been calmed. There's the blind that healed. There is the deaf that are able to hear. The mute are able to speak. Lepers are cleansed. Fevers are healed. Resurrection power that brings people back from the dead back to life again. There's a man's hand that is withered and it's completely restored. There is Jesus walking on water. Then Jesus himself is raised from the dead and empty graves open up and dead bodies of ancestors who long since been dead and buried begin to walk around the streets of Jerusalem. I'm telling you, I believe in miracles. And I don't have time to go on. And I could about the Apostle Paul just touching people, his handkerchief, and they were healed. The shadow of Peter walking past people, and they were healed. There was the declaration, silver and gold have I none, but such as I do have, I give unto thee. There is the Apostle Paul one time preaching so long that some poor guy fell asleep in the window, and he fell asleep in the window and fell out of the window and fell down two stories, was killed and died. Apostle Paul goes down there, prays for him, and he comes back from the dead again. I've just come to stir today. Come on. I believe in miracles. And I want to pray for miracles today in the name of Jesus. I stirred my faith up just doing this study of all the different miracles in the Bible. There were so many, I didn't even think I could begin to name them. But here's a few areas where I believe that God can do miracles. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. There's the gift of healing, but I believe there's also the working of miracles. And I believe there's a difference. A healing is in and of itself supernatural. And sometimes a healing is a miracle. But sometimes a miracle is not a healing. Sometimes a miracle is just a miraculous catch of fish. Sometimes it's man's hand that is withered, but now is completely restored. A miracle is someone who actually, if you like, is healed of leprosy. A miracle is turning water into wine. A miracle is that supernatural catch of fish. And I want to pray for people today, and you're believing God for miracles. Sometimes a miracle is just power over the devil. Amen. That you're ahead of your enemy. Amen. You're ahead of your enemy. Your enemy has a plan. Listen to this. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. It's not that there aren't weapons, I promise you. Matter of fact, I met with a pastor this week in California, and I'm just going to get the team to come and bring the staging because I want to pray for people for miracles. I met a pastor this week in California. I'm out there. I figured I had a night free. I reached out to him, a good friend of mine. And I said, come on, man, let's have a breakfast. Let's have a coffee. Let's just have a catch up. And I said, man, tell me what's been in your heart lately. He says, I've just written a book. He goes, the book is on just the supernatural. And he said, and the thing that I really feel like God showed me was there's a difference between principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And he goes, if you like, there's just levels of even demonic authority. There's principalities, there's powers, and there's rulers of darkness. And you got to know what you're dealing with. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, any person that's being undergoing an attack of the enemy, number one, if you decide you're going to serve God, you've made yourself a target for the enemy. But you need to know whatever it is, whether it's a principality, whether it's a power, or whether it's a ruler of darkness, that you need to know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. In my life, I've come across principalities. In my life, I've come across powers. In my life, let me tell you, Hampton Roads, let me tell you, one of the rulers of darkness in Hampton Roads, I've experienced this myself firsthand on many occasions. I've watched it by observation, and I've also seen it by experience. But in Hampton Roads, one of the rulers of darkness, I believe, is a divisive spirit over Hampton Roads. I'll never be a person that blames the devil for anything. Are you hearing me? But we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. Just this divisive spirit that seeks to sow discord among the brethren. I've talked about it for 19 years, that I'm believing God for somehow a breakthrough in our city of pastors working together, not having combined church meetings, but pastors actually getting on and honoring each other and bringing unity and reconciliation and healing and not division to the church. When he said it, I thought, yeah, I'm facing that. I know what that's like. But I'll tell you something. I also know this, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Amen. And I want to encourage you today, whether you feel like you're undergoing a demonic attack, I want to want you to know whether you just need a healing, a miracle that's wrapped up in a healing. If you need supernatural provision, maybe it's personal, maybe it's for your business. Whatever it is you need, I'm believing God for miracles today. Can anybody say amen?